It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state Senate passed a series of bills yesterday, including legislation to overturn Governor Evers' 400-year increase for school funding and a provision to block state health funds for undocumented immigrants.
Senate Republicans also made moves to redefine abortion in the state. And another bill in the Assembly would bar food share recipients from using federal food assistance dollars for candy, soft drinks, or energy drinks.
Later today, Republicans are set to vote on the food share bill. State Representative Clint Moses of Menominee introduced the legislation.
Well, the real goal is obviously to get the SNAP program to what it was originally intended for, which is to provide nutrition and fill empty bellies and not fill our kids, our adults, and our elderly with bad foods, poor caloric intake, you know, high sugar foods, processed foods, that type of stuff.
Democratic critics have pushed back. Representative Ryan Clancy of Milwaukee called the bill, quote, fairly ridiculous, and that it doesn't consider food deserts around the state.
WPR reporter Rich Kramer is following these stories. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Spell out the kind of restrictions, Rich, that this food share bill would add to federal food aid received by Wisconsinites.
Yeah, so under the bill, people getting benefits through Wisconsin's version of the SNAP, you know, food stamp program called Food Share, would not be allowed to buy candy, soft drinks, or energy drinks. One interesting little side note, interesting to me anyway, is that the Assembly will vote on an amendment to that bill today that would change the definition of soft drink under state law. The current definition exempts anything containing dairy from the definition of soft drink. So the new definition would include anything with water, sweeteners, flavoring, or carbonation. So essentially soda-type products.
And we heard one of the sponsors there in the Assembly. What is the back and forth on that? What are the arguments, pro and con, on this? And this has been a long argument, I got to say. It's been going on for decades. What are we hearing this time around from people in the Assembly?
You're right. It has been a long, long discussion. There's been a big debate about this at the national level for a long time. So supporters like Representative Moses say that this is about making people healthier, specifically low-income recipients of that food assistance healthier, by not letting them buy junk food with food shares. He and others say that data shows the top purchase using federal food assistance is soda. And Moses used a metaphor when he was talking to me of a double-edged sword. And what he was essentially saying is that, well, taxpayers are paying for this food assistance. And then if people are buying these unhealthy products, a lot of them are also on Medicaid, healthcare assistance. So essentially, taxpayers are footing the bill twice. Opponents like Democratic State Representative Ryan Clancy say the bill and Republicans in general are trying to micromanage the diets of low-income families. They say they don't consider, the bill doesn't consider food deserts and all of that. And so there's also some lobbying that's happened from groups representing gas stations and grocery stores that oppose the bill because they'd have to spend a lot of time and some money to update their checkout systems to identify thousands and thousands of products that might fall into this category if this were to become law.
If it were to be passed, and if the governor to sign it, another question there. But then Wisconsin, I understand, Rich, would have to apply for a waiver from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which says, hey, states, you can change things, but you got to come to us and ask first. What would that involve? Does it seem like the USDA would be receptive to that?
They're very receptive. So the current U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's been urging states to do this, to apply for these waivers all year. And so currently the USDA says 12 states have applied for these waivers. It doesn't say how far along they are in the processing of those. I'm not sure what all goes into giving final approval. And I did ask Representative Moses about whether RFK Jr.'s push has influenced this bill. He said yes and no. So I guess it did a little bit.
Now, we've been talking about food share a lot here in Wisconsin during the government shutdown. A lot of that food aid was on and off again and partial and full and none for a while. That's another story, though, right? This push for these rules and this bill precedes the shutdown and all the hullabaloo over food assistance.
Yeah, it does. And as we discussed a little while ago, it's just part of this national discussion. I remember hearing for years about how, you know, from conservatives generally, mostly, saying that, well, people are abusing these benefits, you name it, whether it's, you know, it's the quote-unquote welfare payments or the food assistance. There are these claims that people are just using it for what it's not intended for. So, yeah, that discussion has been going for a long time before the federal shutdown happened.
All right, this is in the legislature now. If passed, it would go to Governor Evers. Has he tipped his hand at all as to whether he'd sign this bill if it gets passed?
He hasn't. I did try asking the governor's spokesperson about whether he'd sign it or veto it. I didn't hear back. It's unknown, but it seems unlikely that Evers would support this. And even Representative Moses told me he doesn't expect Evers to sign the bill, even though he thinks he should.
Talking to Rich Kramer, reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio, looking at some of the latest news out of the state legislature. That food share bill, Rich, action happening in the Assembly today. You followed a flurry of activity in the state Senate yesterday. One of the bills passed in that chamber has to do with state aid for health care and who can and can't get it. What was this one about?
Yeah, so essentially this bill is another Republican bill that would block any public money, whether it's from the local level, the state level, or federal level, from going toward helping people who are in the country illegally enroll in Wisconsin's Medicaid program known as Badger Care. So that is also part of a broader national push by Republicans who have been claiming that all kinds of taxpayer dollars are being used improperly in some states to provide these benefits, which are intended for U.S. residents, to undocumented individuals.
What is the current state of law in Wisconsin on that?
So the current state is that, you know, if you're not a citizen, you're not allowed to apply for Badger Care. They're already preventing that. But the bill author seemed to be worried about what could happen and essentially said that Governor Evers or the State Department of Health Services could bypass the GOP-controlled legislature by writing what's called an administrative rule to provide Badger Care to these undocumented residents. So that's some really wonky stuff, the administrative rulemaking process, but it kind of ties into a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling this year that essentially tamped down the ability of a Republican-led committee in the legislature to indefinitely block administrative rule proposals. So this seems pretty clearly trying to get ahead of any type of end run around the legislature.
Have we seen a response from the governor on this or Democrats in the legislature arguing against the proposal?
Democrats definitely argued against it on the Senate floor yesterday. Democratic Senator Jeff Smith said that this is Republicans addressing a problem that doesn't really exist in order to score political points with the GOP base. He also noted that hospitals are not allowed to deny care to anybody. So people are going to go in, they're going to get treatment, that costs money, that's going to get spread around. That was essentially his argument. I'm not sure what the governor would do, but it seems, you know, somewhat likely that he would not be a supporter of this.
Now, that state rulemaking process, one wonky piece of the balance of power between the governor and the legislature here. Another one is the partial veto. And, Rich, you wrote about this story. We had the governor veto legislation, partial veto budget legislation a while back that effectively said, hey, we're going to increase school funding each year for 400 years by crossing out some numbers creatively. What is the Senate trying to do to bring that back down to a 1 or 2 year horizon?
So they're introducing legislation that would essentially veto the Evers veto, partial veto. So it would repeal the veto, I should say. And what the governor did in 2023 with the state budget is he crossed out some digits and a dash, a hyphen, that changed what was supposed to be, according to the legislature, a two-year increase in per-pupil funding authority, you know, where schools can get the authorization to raise their property taxes if they like. So it was supposed to end at the end of the budget, and he changed it so that it would end the year 2024-25. This bill would essentially undo that, But, you know, the irony is that Evers would have to sign the bill, and he'd essentially have to reverse himself. And I don't know, maybe that could happen. It doesn't seem likely. But in short, Republicans have said ever since 2023 that the governor abused his power. And then when the Supreme Court's liberal majority upheld that partial veto, they, the Republicans said that, well, they've also abused their authority. They've gone too far. So that's essentially the argument and the intent of the bill.
And finally, Rich, another piece of legislation in the Senate yesterday, the definition of abortion. What would that bill do? Yeah.
That was a charged discussion on the Senate floor. So it was introduced by Republican Senator Romaine Quinn. And he says the bill is about giving doctors and other healthcare workers assurances that they won't face prosecution under Wisconsin's 20-week abortion ban if they provide medical treatment addressing an unviable pregnancy, for example. And Quinn said that he's strictly pro-life, but the current abortion definition is vague under state law, and his bill would provide needed clarity. All of this because of and in the wake of the federal Roe v. Wade abortion protections being struck down 3 years ago.
And Rich, that was a lot yesterday and today. What are you watching for next in our last few moments?
Oh, man, politics just doesn't stop, Rob. So I'll be watching what the Assembly does with these bills. And usually Republicans in both chambers are on the same page, but it's not always the case. And then, of course, we're going to have to wait to see if Governor Evers signs or vetoes these pieces of legislation. Bigger picture, though, it's campaign season again in Wisconsin, and we've got the race for the soon-to-be-open governor's seat, the battle for control in the state legislature, in the Assembly and Senate, and 8 U.S. House races. So there's going to be plenty to keep me busy, and you're all going to be hearing a lot about politics for the next year.
Well, Rich, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
That's Rich Kramer, reporter here at Wisconsin Public Radio, bringing us up to date on a lot of action in the state legislature.